Let's take our Bibles and turn with me to the book of Proverbs, chapter 22. Proverbs 22. I'd like to just pick up right where we left off. Proverbs chapter 22. Now the Spirit of God is admonishing the church through Solomon. Solomon penned this book, but the Spirit of God dictated it. And now he is admonishing the church through Solomon to consider that which we started studying a year ago. 10 years ago. 10 years ago. Started this book in 2009. And now here it is, 10 years later, by the grace of God. And Solomon, moved by God's Spirit, makes this statement. Verse 17, Proverbs 22, bow down thine ear and hear the words of the wise. Hear with intelligence. Hear with attention. And hear with obedience. Now, this is not the first time that the Spirit of God moved on Solomon to say this. Hold your place. Just turn back to Proverbs 5. Proverbs chapter 5, verse 1 to 4. My son, attend unto my wisdom, and bow down thine ear to my understanding, that thou mayest regard discretion, that thy lips may keep knowledge. Now why would the Spirit of God tell Solomon to tell God's people, listen to what I'm saying? Now, he's preaching in parables here. That's how the Lord taught. You remember what the disciples said. Why do you teach in parable, in proverbs? He said, because it's given unto you to know the mystery of the kingdom of God. To them it's not given. Now, he says now, you attend unto my wisdom. You bow down, you stretch out your ear to my understanding, that you may regard with discretion, that thy lips may keep knowledge, because, for, the lips of a strange woman. Now you know who that strange woman is. False religion. We know that. The lips of a strange woman drop as an honeycomb, and her mouth is smoother than oil, but her end is bitter as wormwood, sharp as a two-edged sword. What's going to be the end of all who hear and love and adhere to false religion? What's going to happen? They're going to stand before God. And they're going to plead their case. And they're going to tell the Lord all these things that they've done. Oh, and how faithful they were. And he's going to say, I don't know you. Depart from me, you worker of iniquity. I never knew you. Oh, that the Lord might give us a heart and an ear, a hearing ear. Stretch out and incline that ear that I've given you. That's the only ear that we can hear with. Oh, we can hear. I mean, you can hear with a natural ear. I do understand that. But that the Spirit of God would give a man, a woman, an ear of faith. To believe it. And pray that the Spirit of God gives hearing ears that moves our heart to obedience. Now listen to this. Hold your place. Turn over to James 1. James 1. James chapter 1. Now listen to this. James 1, 22 to 24. But be ye doers, obeyers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own self. Now listen, anybody can hear. Anybody can come and hear. Hear what I'm saying. For if any be a hearer of the word and not an obeyer, a doer, he like a man beholding his natural face in a glass, for he beholdeth himself and goeth his way and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. What did he just say? He said, if someone just hears the word, they hear it, and they leave, and that's it. They just really had no effect on them. No, there's no heart for obedience. There's no heart for the love of Christ. There's no. It's like a man that comes and he looks at himself in the mirror, and his face is dirty, hair's not combed, teeth are not brushed. He just a ragamuffin is all he is. He just turns and walks away and just forgets what he just saw. I'm not ready to go outside. I'm not ready to meet anybody. I don't need to be seen like this. He said that's the way if you hear only and you're not a doer, you're not an obeyer, it has no heart effect on you. Oh, bow down thine ear, back in Proverbs 22. To the only message that is the power of God unto salvation. These words that are breathed of the Lord that are profitable for doctrine. This is profitable for what we believe. For reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good work. Bow down, Proverbs 22:17, thine ear and hear the words of the wise and apply thine heart unto my knowledge. Give yourself to it. Ponder it. Meditate upon that which the Lord has sent through His preachers. His knowledge. That's what He said. Apply thine heart unto. Now, whose knowledge is it? This is the Lord's knowledge. Oh, the warning that's going out right now. This is a warning. It's a warning. This is an admonition. Listen, He said, what I'm saying, give yourself to it. Knowledge concerning who we are. Now, here's some knowledge. Sinners, dead in trespasses and sin. That's some knowledge. Who are we? We're needy sinners. Knowledge about who the Father is and what He's done. The Father who's blessed us in Christ Jesus. Stretch out your ear and hear the words of the wise and apply your heart to it. Listen to what the Lord has said concerning particular redemption. What does the world say? Lord died for everybody. What does the Lord say? I lay down my life for the sheep. Is that some needful information? Yeah. Apply your heart to it. Apply your heart to that message of irresistible grace, preserving grace. Verse 18, for it is a pleasant thing if thou keep them within thee. They shall be withal. They shall withal be fitted in thy lips. It's a pleasant thing, believer, if these words are kept in your heart. Fitted. Fixed. Stable. Secure. Not that we have the power to be able to keep God's Word within, but when the Lord who keeps His Word within the hearts of His people. When He works a work of grace, they speak that which they truly desire. Whenever God does a work of grace in the heart of a sinner, He gives that sinner a new desire, a new love, a new longing. I need Him. I need His Word. And He does that which the Lord has done, granting him faith. This is what a believer does because of the faith that God's given him. David says, "Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee." Now, who did that work of grace? And faithful is he who calleth you, he shall also do it. But what happens? God's people react in a way, in a willing way. Does every believer desire to have the Word of God hidden in his heart? Absolutely. No doubt about that. And with the Lord's Word hidden in the heart, the believer's lips, the Scripture says, are now accustomed. Your lips, his eyes, the Scripture says, that it's a pleasant thing if thou keep them within thee. They shall what? These words of wisdom. They shall withal be fitted. What does that mean? There, a believer is accustomed to confessing. That's what it is. That's what it means. He's accustomed to confessing that those words that are proper to him. And established, there's a new man there with a new heart. It's been regenerated by the Spirit of God's the Spirit of God, and now according to that everlasting covenant, God's given. He said, "I'm going to be your God. You're going to be my people. You're going to walk in my statutes. This is the way it's going to be." God's people, they walk consistently according to these words. That's what they do. That's a believer. That's what they do. There's a new man that's led by God's Spirit, and there's a new love for that which formerly I hated. I didn't care about this. Before the Lord does something for a believer, you know what their attitude is? Take it or leave it. I mean, it's all right, I guess, but it's not, I've got other stuff. I've got other things. I'm busy. I'm busy. I'll get around to it. Don't worry about it. No. Not a believer. Not a believer. The Scripture says God does a work of grace in his heart, and it's a pleasant thing. God puts it there. It's pleasant to that believer. And they shall withal be fitted. They're firm. They're established in his mouth. The Scripture says, Luke 6:4, a good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is good. An evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is evil. For of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. I've always said, if you want to know what someone believes, listen to them. They'll tell you. Out of the abundance of their heart, their mouth is going to speak. And then the Lord reveals His good pleasure for establishing that security and that confidence and that hope in His people. This is why the Lord said, this is why I do what I do. Look at verse 19. That thy trust may be in the Lord, I have made known to thee this day, even to thee. This is why God has established this thing that, you know, oh, what benefit that the Lord has done toward His people. The grace and mercy of God to not leave us to trust in ourselves and leave this world in darkness of sin and unbelief. Do you know what it takes for a man or a woman to go to hell? For God to leave them alone. And let them do what they want to do. Let them continue going the way they want to. Let them have that same attitude or lack of attitude toward the gospel in a positive way. Just leave them alone. Has the Lord left me to myself? And I would have died. I'm telling you, I know what's going to happen according to these scriptures. I'm going to perish. But also, behold the particular and distinguishing grace. Here's what he said. That thy trust may be in the Lord. And not in my works. Not in my goodness or lack of. I've made known to thee this day, even to thee. You hear that particular distinguishing? I've caused you to see by faith your need of me. I've caused you to recognize the truth that you need me for life. I've made known to you what I've done to you, for you, hiding you in my Son. And again, if he had not done that, I'm telling you, and it would have been just the most natural thing in the world to me, to have no love for the gospel, no heart for Christ, no love for God's people, no desire to fellowship with them. That's what happened. That's exactly. Died without a saving knowledge of Christ. Listen, the only hope of glory is the Lord. And that if he hadn't done that for us, here's what the scripture says. John 3:18. He that believeth on him is not condemned. Now let me just, I'm going to say this way. I always say this. This is not a historical belief. As I've told you, I truly believe that there was a George Washington. I believe there was. I really do. I think that there was an Abraham Lincoln. I really do. Somebody says, did you ever meet him? No, I really didn't, to be honest with you. But I read enough accounts. I believe that historically, I think that really what I've read about him and I believe he was. I believe he was first president. I really do. I believe that. Yeah, I believe that there was a Jesus Christ. I'm sure there was. I'm sure there was, man says. I've read enough accounts. I believe that there really was. But that's not the belief it's talking about right here. This is a heart belief by faith that casts yourself upon him for life, for security, as a refuge, as my only hope. To believe on him is to not believe on me. He that believeth on him. What does that mean? That means that everything that I formerly trusted in for my salvation is dung, is refuge. It's lost. It's lost. I don't trust anything. He that believeth on him is not condemned. But he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. So let me ask you this. What is the most needful thing for a sinner to do? Hold your place, turn to Acts 16. You know the scripture, but I want you to look at it. Acts 16. Now listen, let me tell you this. The scripture is going to come up again in the day of judgment. This scripture is going to come up again. Acts 16, verse 30 and 31. Paul and Silas is in a Philippian jail. The Spirit of God comes and sends an earthquake. Doors come open. Philippian jailer comes in there. He sees his doors are open. He knows he's going to have to perish now because he didn't keep him safe. He's going to fall on his sword. Paul cries out. He said, don't do it. We're all here. We're all here. Verse 30 and 31. He called, verse 29, he called for a light, sprang in, came trembling, fell down before Paul and Silas. God is a God of means. God has done something. He's a God of means. Now, he used an earthquake to move this vessel of his mercy. He used an earthquake. He'd heard something. These guys been singing all night. Paul had been preaching. And up until this time, the Philippian jailer had just, there he goes again. There he goes, that same old message. He keeps on. But this time, he moved, and the Spirit of God says, verse 30, he brought him out, and he said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? And they said, this is it, right here. What must a man, a woman do to be saved? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house. And I'm going to just say this because it needs to be said. No one believes in order to be saved. No one believes in order to be saved. No one believes in order to be saved. They believe because God saved them. That's the thing. The Spirit of God has got to come and remove a heart of stone and give a new heart, a new mind, a new spirit. Salvation is of the Lord, not of man. Now here's where the world's got the cart before the horse. They think men believe in order to be saved. No, that would be works. That'd be man's works. No. God grants faith, and they believe. What must a man or woman do to be saved? They've got to believe. And God Almighty is the one that moves on them to believe. Look back in Proverbs 22. Back 22. Verse 19. That thy trust may be in the Lord, I have made known to thee this day. Even to thee. The Lord says, I made you to know. You didn't. I did. I was one. And this the Lord does in time. Whatever it pleases Him, to every one of His elect, to all that the Father is pleased to have chosen in Christ before the foundation of the world, everyone for whom the Lord laid down His life, everyone that the Spirit of God is surely going to call out of darkness, they shall all be taught of God, and they shall believe. This is particular knowledge. This is family knowledge. This is God's family knowledge. Knowledge that's mysterious, powerfully revealed, settling knowledge. Knowledge that's accomplished in everyone that the Lord makes willing in the day of His power. But I want you to notice one other thing too about that verse 19. Notice the need of the continual application of that knowledge. Verse 19, that thy trust may be in the Lord, I have made known to thee this day. This day. Didn't we hear this last week? Didn't we hear it Wednesday? By the grace of God, won't we hear it again? Yeah. But let me tell you something. The Lord says, I made known to thee every day. Today is the day of salvation. Faith cometh by hearing. I said, we learned this, and I've been hearing this for so many years. I got it. I know you do, but we don't. We need to hear this again and again and again. And when we don't, a believer says, I just... How long has it been since you had a drink of water? Well, I drank some today. Well, why don't you go about 4 or 5 days and tell me how thirsty you are. Are you really, really thirsty? I've made known to you today. We need to be personally taught afresh. Every day. I need to hear the gospel preached. When God's people meet together, I need to hear it. I need to hear it. And the searching of the Scriptures. I need to read these Scriptures every day. Can I go without reading His Word every day? He said, every day? Every day. I need to meet with Him in that closet of prayer every day. We hear His voice daily. As the Lord speaks, as our needs are supplied by the Spirit of God. But I tell you this, I need to hear again. And the Lord knows the needs of His people. And we don't. I don't know what I need. He does. And so I trust that it may be in the Lord. He makes known unto us daily with a new and fresh application of that truth. Oh, the miracle of God's grace and mercy to His people. And then the Lord ends this exhortation for this morning with this beautiful address to His people with an amazing question. Like I said, I do know that Solomon penned it. I know that. And words of wisdom that were given him by the Lord. But at no time would any believer ever say or consider that these words originated with Solomon. I mean, he was a wise man, wisest man ever walked this earth, born of Adam. But we know these words are from the very heart of Almighty God. He who is wisdom Himself through His Spirit, words of mercy. And listen to His question. Now, like I said, this started, Solomon has been penning these words since chapter 1, verse 1. And the Lord tells us that. Now you hear this. You hear what I said to you. You listen. They're going to be pleasant to you. Been 10 years. Been a pleasant study. Hardest book. I told you this. Hardest book I ever studied in my life. Never. I've never had a book as hard as the book of Proverbs. Never. Because it's got such a natural meaning. And it makes so much sense to the natural man. But if I don't see Christ in it, then I missed it. I missed it. And there were some that only by the grace of God, believe me, any of them, that you can hear. But listen to this question, verse 20 and 21, and I'll close. Have not I written to thee excellent things in counsels and knowledge that I might make thee know the certainty of the words of truth, that thou mightest answer the words of truth to them that stand unto thee. Lord's asking this question. And God's people immediately answer. And the Lord says, Have I not written to thee excellent things? God's people say, yes, sir. You have, Lord. You have. You have. Yes, you have. Has He not written these excellent things in counsels and knowledge to us in the truth of the gospel, these things that are more excellent and can never be known by the light of nature? The Scripture says the light of nature declares the handiwork of God. Men are without excuse. My friend, if you can see outside, you can behold nature, and you see what God has done, you're without excuse. It declares the glory of God. That's what, without excuse. I'm going to stand there. Well, I never heard. Yeah, you did. Yes, you did. Haven't I declared these things? How about through the law of Moses? Could we learn these blessed things that the gospel has set forth? No. Those things that are set forth and declare the love of God in Christ to His people. Things that declare the person and offices of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's God's prophet. He's God's priest. He's God's king. Have I not declared unto you excellent things in counsels and knowledge? Those things which teach us peace and pardon and reconciliation before God by the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Those things that teach us of His righteousness that has been imputed to those that He's given a heart to believe, of life and salvation through Him who loved us and gave Himself for us, for His people. That's excellent. Those are excellent things. These are excellent things. Now look at it again, verse 20. Have I not written to thee? He's talking to somebody. This is a book of God's heart to His people. He's saying something. Have I not written to you of the counsels, knowledge of God, which are passed on and out? How would we ever know to cast ourselves upon Him for mercy if He didn't send us these excellent things and say, come unto me. All you that labor heavy laden, I will give you rest. How would I know that? How? Had He not taught us, we'd never come to Him. We'd have come to the front. I'd have come to the preacher. I'd have come to the church. I'd have come to every other false haven of security, but I'd never come to Him. I can tell you that. But these precious and excellent things have been written unto us for this reason, verse 21, that I might make thee to know, thee know, the certainty of the words of truth. He tells His people that I might make you know it. This is the only thing that settles the heart of a believer. Right? If God doesn't say it, it ain't so. That ain't so. Well, I think that, what difference does it make what we think? What saith the Scriptures? What is it? That I might make thee know the certainty of the words of truth. Oh, but there's one other thing. That thou mightest answer the words of truth to them that sinned unto thee. What? That you might possess a heart to where when someone comes and asks you, what do you believe? What do you believe? Peter said in 1 Peter 3:15, sanctify the Lord in your hearts and be ready always to give an account to every man that asketh of you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. You remember that demoniac of the gatherings? Lord called out a legion of demons. Cast them out. And that demoniac, what did he want to do? Lord, I'm going to go with you. Wherever you're going, that's where I want to go. And the Scripture said the Lord suffered him not. What did He tell him to do? Go home to thy friends and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee and hath had compassion on thee. The Lord said, I've given you these things that it might settle your heart and you might be settled in your heart and that you might have, with that settled heart, a heart tell somebody else. Someone stopped yesterday here at the church, banging on the door. I went out, and this person said, are you the pastor? And I said, yeah. Well, I've just moved into this area, and I'm looking for a church. I said, okay. I said, you're welcome to come sit. And they said, well, I'm Southern Baptist. I said, well, I can tell you this, I know what you believe. And I said, you believe. I said, let me just go ahead and be up front, will you? I said, let me tell you what you believe. You believe in salvation by works. You believe that you have a free will, and that by your free will, you believe that the Lord Jesus Christ died for everybody and paid everybody's sin and put away everybody's guilt. And now, you believe that all you have to do is exercise your free will and accept it. And once you accept it, that makes it effectual. It makes you a child of God. I said, now the only problem with that is that it's not so. I said, that's a lie that you've been told. And I said, Scripture refutes that. I said, Christ didn't die for everybody. Scriptures refute that. And I said, now I'm just going to go ahead and be straight up with you about this. I said, you're welcome to come here. You really are. You're welcome to come. But when you come, bring a Bible. And take your Bible and open it. And sit and listen. And if the Lord's pleased, He'll open a heart. You know, time is short. His life's a vapor. And I thought, I may never see you again. But I want to, by the grace of God, I want to be honest with you. I don't want to give you a false hope and tell you that you're okay. I'm telling you, you die without Christ, you're going to hell. And it's a long time. I pray God have mercy upon us and save His people, call His people out, and bless this word to our hearts for Christ's sake. Amen. All right, let's take a bite.